101 is a slang term for the most basic knowledge in some subject.
101, like our podcast.
This is Venezuela 101.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Venezuela 101. I am Miguel Pizarro.
And I am Melanio Escobar.
In this podcast, we will interview different experts to discuss the main aspects of the political, economical, and social situation in Venezuela with intention of having a broader and deeper understanding of the crisis that our country is going through.
Before today's topic and our guest, we want to remind you that if this is your first time listening to this podcast, you can find our previous episodes and the trailer through this same platform, where you will learn the main subject we address in this podcast and what drives us to create and maintain this space.
Today, we're going to speak about a topic that has been of great relevance in recent months for Venezuelan civil society: the law of supervision, regulation, action, and funding of the NGOs in Venezuela, also known as the anti-society law.
This bill, which is currently under discussion by the regime's National Assembly elected in 2020, has been described by different NGOs and activists as a new attack not only against them but also against society and victims, who are today the main beneficiaries of these organizations.
But this is not the first time that the regime has tried to attack the NGOs in Venezuela. According to all the information we have, this is at least the fifth time since 2006 that the regime tried to formalize the legal harassment and persecution of the NGOs in the country.
To go further into this topic, in this episode, we have the presence of Beatriz Borges, also known as Bibi. She's a lawyer, academic, and a human rights defender in Venezuela. Since 2014, she's been the executive director of the Center for Justice and Peace. In addition, Beatriz litigates and aptly participates in international human rights protection systems at the United Nations and in the Inter-American system to denounce human rights violations and demand respect for international norms and standards. Welcome, Bibi.
Thank you, Melanio and Miguel. I'm very happy to be with you. Thank you for inviting me. And I think it's very important, the work you do in telling what is happening in Venezuela, because it's very changing and challenging and difficult environment to follow. And I'm very happy to be with you.
Thank you, Bibi, for joining us today in this episode. To start, I would like to speak a little bit more about the time frame of this law and the recent past. As I mentioned on the beginning of the episode, the regime's attempt to stop the work of NGOs in the country dates back some time. According to all the information we have, in 2006 was the first attempt by the regime, in that moment led by Hugo Chavez, in which a project of international cooperation law was presented to the National Assembly in that moment and was discussed. Is this correct? And from that moment until now, what has been the story of this constant attack against the NGOs in Venezuela?
In fact, this is not the first governmental act aiming to controlling and limiting the work developed by civil society organizations, restricting freedoms such as the freedom to express themselves, to associate, and to participate in matters of public interest. The government intention to limit non-governmental organizations from receiving international funds is not new. It occurred in 2006 and in 2019. More recently, in 2022, the Inter-American Commission and its special rapporteur from freedom of expression rejected the content of the draw bill of the international cooperation law. And in 2022, the administrative ruling number 001 that established the requirement for non-profit organization to register in the Unified Registry of Obligate Parties before the National Office Against Organized Crimes and Financing of Terrorism. As recognized by the Inter-American Commission recently, these regulatory strategies are part of the one-state policies to foster a hostile environment against human rights and humanitarian assistance organizations, accompanied by discredit campaign, stigmatization, and acts of harassment. Likewise, previously through Sudeban, the government had instructed the national banking sector to implement a set of measures in order to strengthen the mechanism in technological system that allow monitoring all business or financial operation through non-profit organization, with the purpose of identifying natural or legal person that receive or send funds from other organization, and thus detect unusual operation or suspicious activities of money laundering or financing of terrorism. These different legal, judicial, and administrative restrictions are not new, but we are very concerned about the form they are taking and how they are being applied in a pre-electoral context, where we know that these state policies is being applied to close the civil space and to keep in the power.
And in the case of this new bill, what does it include, and what will be the main effects on the NGO's work?
The bill require the association to have 4 registrations with public institutions. Of these, at least 2 are actually new authorization or permits in order to be able to operate. The requirements that it established to be able to have the new registration are impossible to comply with. This shows that the law is designed to nullify the organizations, not to regularize them, considering that they are organizations that are registered already. Additionally, the sanctions proposed by the bill are arbitrary, excessive, and disproportionate. The bill, in one hand, establishes control and supervision requirements that, if applied, will not only be impossible to comply with, but will also outlaw organizations that do not comply with them. In fact, the bill already declares the non-existence of all forms of non-profit associations, association foundations, and all their forms of union, already registered or open in de facto, as long as they do not adapt to the provision of the law. On the other hand, the monetary sanctions might be applied with broad discretion. For example, the bill imposed fines of up $12,000 for groups that do not register with the control entity and do not declare the identity and origin of the donations. Today, due to the precarious situation of all the organizations in Venezuela, it is an amount that nobody could pay. Other penalties include suspensions or ex officio dissolution and confiscatory fines. In addition to civil and criminal liabilities for money laundering and terrorism financing offenses.
Now, I believe there is another direct affected party in all of this, which is the beneficiaries, the victims of human rights violation of the complex humanitarian emergency. In the middle of all the noise, many people might think or believe that this is not going to affect me. But what is the reality? What is the impact that these kind of measures will have in all of those beneficiaries or victims?
The main people affected will be those who receive free assistance and accompaniment in the defense of their violated rights, as well as humanitarian aid throughout the country. The lawmaking project criminalized solidarity by further undermining the popular sector of Venezuelan society, who are the main beneficiaries of the international cooperation and the work of NGOs, especially people in vulnerable conditions, since humanitarian work and social project of which they are beneficiary will be affected. The effect is serious. Not only will we have to stop our work with the victims and beneficiary of humanitarian aid, but also the illegalization of the organizations could provoke the forced migration from the country of their members, as well as of the beneficiaries who will see their livelihoods at risk, which will have an impact on the increase of asylum application and could trigger a new human mobility crisis from Venezuela in the region.
Bibi, knowing that the regime's persecution and harassment against organizations, activists, and social actors has been sustained over time, there is also a reality in which we can see that there are stronger waves than others. A few days ago, we saw again the attacks on members of the National Assembly, journalists, members of political parties, and obviously NGOs as the central topic of this conversation. What do you think is the trigger of this? Why now? Why this new attempt?
First, the bill is part of a broader pattern of restriction on civil space through threats, attacks, and arbitrary detentions against human rights defenders, trade unions, and journalists, as well as limitation of free operation of organizations and independent media. That these are forms of control and repression that have been used at key political moments and moments of citizen mobilization. Although the law has precedent, this new attempt occurs in a pre-electoral context, and this is connected with the purpose of the government to remain in the power. Persecution increased in moments of organization like protests or electoral process. In the exposition of the bill before the Congress, Diosdado Cabello and Jorge Rodriguez expressly criminalized the defense of political rights and directed the law to those kind of organization. But in reality, the purpose of the law will affect all kinds of civil society organizations. After years of political persecution, the organizations are the first in the line of defense of rights. With this law, they try to legitimize the control and illegalization of the organization to make them disappear.
To finalize, Bibi, what actions are you taking as a collective to counter this attack? What can be done from international community, from civil society, and from other actors? How to apply pressure and to avoid once again a measure like this against the civil society in Venezuela?
As a civil society, we have already presented a statement on the legal aspect of the draft, its incompatibility with human rights standards, and the threats and risks posed by its approval. This statement was signed by more than 400 Venezuelan organizations and has been addressed to several international bodies and public opinion. Likewise, the organizations are doing collective and individual advocacy and monitoring of the legislative process, denouncing each step that is being taken. As a result, in the last month, we have obtained the pronouncement of the Inter-American Commission, the fact-finding mission, and the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, just questioning the law and its effects. It is worth remembering that in 2006 and 2019, an attempt was made to pass an anti-NGO law similar to the current one, but civil society gave a strong response with the support of the diplomatic corps. There were pronouncements from international human rights protection bodies, and the government did not move forward with such law. Hence, the message of optimism and call to unite and raise our voice. We must take advantage of the presence of the Office of the High Commissioner, of the fact-finding mission, and even of the work that the Prosecutor Office of the International Criminal Court has been carried out on in Venezuela to pressure the government to comply with human rights obligation and to avoid continuing the advance in action that arbitrarily limits civil space in Venezuela.
I remember that when the bill was approved in the first reading, I posted on my social media that NGOs do by right what the state intentionally omits. And the fact is that authoritarian regimes in general, such as Nicaragua, which actually approved a similar law last year, have a particular hostility towards civil society organizations because we are the only ones who exercise our functions even in the face of their power. Additionally, I believe it is important to highlight that this is not just a struggle for NGOs, but for anyone who lives in the society and openly opposes the regime or thinks differently from them. Precisely because of that, it is now more important than ever to raise our voices together.
I agree with you. And I would like to emphasize that in addition to that, this law is another example of how the civil and the democratic space in Venezuela continues to be under attack by the regime. This has been denounced by multiple national and international organizations, and every time someone makes a public statement about it, the regime tries to discredit and to disqualify them. But I think that right now is precisely when we need to insist more. Venezuela does not need NGOs to be illegalized. Venezuela needs NGOs able to work and to deliver. We need a Venezuela with a state that ensures the respect of the fundamental rights of its citizens.
That's correct, Miguel. Thank you, Bibi, for being part of this conversation. We hope to have you with us again soon to continue discussing this and other topics of the national and international interest regarding justice and human rights.
Thank you, Melanio and Miguel, for the opportunity. I think this is a crucial moment for civil society in Venezuela, and we need to be heard and be support for international community, and don't allow to lose the hope in Venezuela, and that hope that brings the civil society organization and the work of human rights defender. Thank you for this opportunity to talk about what we are doing and what are the threats and the risks that we are facing right now.
Bibi, it has been a great honor for us to have you in this episode of Venezuela 101, and I'm sure that this will be of great interest to everyone listening to our podcast. Thanks all of you for listening to us, and stay tuned for the next episode.
This was a new episode of Venezuela 101. If you like this podcast, share it. Spread the word with your colleagues, family, and friends. Follow us on our social media at Miguel_Pizarro, at Melanio Bar, and don't forget to subscribe and leave us a comment. Please tune in again in 2 weeks with new guests on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, and YouTube.